Heavenly Father, blessed be thy holy name be. Can I hear this morning, Lord? For thou hast appointed this day for thy people together, Father, to come together and present themselves before thee. And how often it is that we ought to do this, Lord, as we see the day of Christ fast approaching now. For we need, Father, to be edified, build up now, Lord, in this little short time that we have before the world changes, Father, to a time of great wars and disaster that thy word have spoken of. We are here, Lord, this morning by thy grace, coming together, Lord, to worship your great name and to sit under your feet, Lord, and to be judged by thy word, to see where we stand, how we stand before thee now. We ask for your grace upon our lives, Lord. Bless us this day, even as we gather right now in Jesus Christ's wonderful name. For those who are not even here, we pray, Father, Lord, that you just bless them. For any reason known to you, Lord, why they should not be here, we ask for your grace, Lord, as you touch every heart. Because we believe, Lord, your grace is far more abound in this time when the world is full of sin. And truly thy word is so blessed, O God, to our hearts. Because thou hast said, Lord, when the world sins abound in this wicked world, the grace of God will do much more abundantly in our life. And we praise you for it, and we thank you for it, Lord. Right now, Father, bless us as you approach thy word. In Christ's wonderful name, we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and all right, we want to continue with our talk. The ten virgins. Who are these ten virgins? All right, now let's go to the book of 8:25, and having done what we did last 2 weeks to look at all those words and how that we should examine this parable in the light that it presented itself to us, we all must always understand that parable is a short narration or story, something that carries a lot of weight, a lot of hidden truth, this mystery contained inside, that if we don't look at it in the light of what is presented carefully, we will really miss out the hidden truth that God has put it inside them. But I believe and always do believe, as Jesus said, that this mystery of parables that he has spoken to the disciple would certainly be revealed to those elect of his. And it will not be given to those who do not have ears to hear or who are not his to begin with. Now let's go on now with this parable. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto ten virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. As we have established, the word then signifies something happened before this can take place. And therefore we know that for this to take place, something that happened before must be what was recorded in chapter 24. And as we have seen chapter 24, the question the disciple asked of Christ was, what shall these things be? You know, when Jesus talked about the temple being destroyed, and the disciple asked then, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the signs of thy coming and of the end of the world? Then Jesus began to say about what will happen in the world, the condition that will be in the world. There will be war, rumors of war, and the kingdom against kingdom. There will be pestilences and famine and earthquakes and so forth. And then there will be sorrow and so forth. Many will be offended, many will grow wax cold, And then he talks about this, then suddenly he talks about the abomination of desolation in chapter 24, verse 15, considering what Daniel talks about, or what Daniel spoke of, the destruction of the temple or Jerusalem city, considering that abomination of desolation regarding the Roman, someone who present himself, or someone who would defile the temple, referring to a prince that will come and destroy that. So now from that, talk about the end time, he suddenly jumped to this in verse 15 to verse 20. And then verse 21, suddenly he talked about the great tribulation now. That's something that is far ahead of all time. But yet what he spoke of in verse 15 and 20 already happened, which was history to us, which is history to us. But in the day when Jesus spoke of it to the disciples, he was still ahead, 40 years ahead. Now, then after that, in verse 23 onwards, then he talks about the parousia, which things are happening right now. Alright? And then again in verse 29 onwards, he talks about the great tribulation again. So he, because when he answers the question, he will say something about the event. Of course, all it are in future of his time. But he will talk about the temple destruction, the Jerusalem destruction, then he will talk about all the way in the great tribulation, and then he will talk also about the day of his coming, you know, the parousia of the Son of Man, which is of course our time. So you see how Christ talk about, and yet all these things are in the ahead of the days of the apostles or disciples when they ask Christ that question. Then after that, in verse 32, he talks about the parable of the fig tree, which we know can only be fulfilled in this 20th century, which it was fulfilled. When Israel became a nation, you understand it? So now when Jesus said, now, not a parable of the fig tree, now the parable of the fig tree signifies a time, that or a sign that we should take note, because if we, now if you go back to history, you will see, of course, there is a war, the rumors of war pestilences in the 2nd century, the 3rd century, or even the 15th century. Remember, in the Dark Ages, they were plagues, right? Is that alright? So, all the time there were earthquakes also, you know, there were also peasants, there were wars, the kingdom against them. But then, how do we tell when is Christ going to come? So Christ gives this parable here, in verse 32. Now not a parable of the fig tree. Now when you see this parable fulfilled, then we know it marks a beginning of end. That means you would have a perspective to look from, a point of perspective to look at as to the time that we are in, or the time when Christ will return and give back the kingdom to the Jew. So now, another parallel of victory, then we see that this is a point that we should look at, focus upon. And we know that Israel became a nation in 1948. So in 1948 we have a focal point now. Alright, to say, okay, all that Christ spoke about in verse chapter 24, verse 1 to 31, must be about this time. You understand? Must be about this time, round about it. As to say, you put a dot in the center, 1948, the fig tree, and round about it, what we see will be all these events taking place. So when we see the fig tree coming into fulfillment, putting on its fig leaf, and Israel came back to the homeland, then we know that we are the end. And then Jesus began to give us a parable. And then we find in chapter 25, then shall the kingdom, now, this is the only time, as I said, that a parable begins with the word then. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened now. Now if we move, let us take a point back again to chapter 13. Now in chapter 13, now we have to have a reference to here, look at, because I believe that this parable of the Tambourine has been misunderstood or misinterpreted even by people in the end time message. And when I look closer the last few weeks, a little closer, I mean, when I first, the last time we talked about this, I think was 2 years back, I believe. When I preach on this, the virgin, the 10 virgin. And I have always have some conviction in my heart that regarding the foolish virgin who really are. But the more that I examine the last two, the more that I'm convinced that the foolish virgin is more than just what we believe they were. Out there in the world, or who they are really out there in the world. In the church world. So we are going to look at it closely as we go along and really look at the whole of this parable of the ten virgins closer a little bit this time. Alright? Now, for that we look at chapter 13. Now in chapter 13 we see all together there are seven parables. Here we have in the first parable, Jesus began to say, behold, a sower went forth to sow, in verse 3. And he sowed some seed, fell by the wayside, and so on. Now, we're not going to deal with this seven parable here, but to get you the gist of it. Now, you know when Jesus came, and he interpreted later on, in verse 36 onwards, alright, about this sower. So now we know that the sower is none other than Christ himself. Okay? He came to sow. Now, he came to sow his word, and you know, some people receive the word well, some do not. Some die off after a while, and so forth. Now, then we look at the second parable. We have, of course, in verse 24. Now in the second parable, he begins now, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto man. Now here it begins the kingdom of heaven. So, to have a closer look at why that the word the kingdom of heaven is used after the first parable, let us understand this. That when Jesus came, he sowed seed. The kingdom of heaven has not yet begun. Is that right? Huh? Is that right? You understand now? When John came to preach the gospel, he said, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. Is that right? Jesus came to preach the gospel, he said, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. Is that right? It's now, it's coming, it's here now. But he hasn't collected citizens yet. There's no subject yet. You understand? Okay? So now when he began to sow sin, of course, some believe, some do not believe. Is that right? Even Thomas kind of doubt a little bit, but then he believed. Then Judas said he believed, but then he did not. You know that, don't you? Huh? And then all the Pharisees, some say, oh, you want to be baptized by John, but John said, well, you bring forth fruit meat for repentance. Huh? And of course, there were some like Nicodemus believed, Gamaliel believed, and you know, not Gamaliel. And of course, then we have other cases of Mary, Magdalene, Martha, and so forth. You understand? Some fall on good ground, some did not. Okay. So now, that's when the soul went for the soul is the first parable. Huh? Now as it began, he put forth a second parable, that we know after Jesus left the scene, the gospel continued to be preached. But now, by that time, the kingdom has already come in. Is that right? The apostle preached the gospel and so forth. Now, in the second parable, you look now, it says, a kingdom of heaven is like unto a man who sowed good seed in the field, and one had slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. So here we have the enemy comes in, when of course the ministers were not, the watchmen were not too careful, they went to sleep for a little while. Okay, here comes the enemy, sowed tares, and tares are not real things, they are unbelievers. They try to look like the wheat, but they are not. They are actually unbelievers, you understand? So then we have the beginning of the kingdom, the first parable here. Alright? Of where the tares are sown, we have the wheat, and then we have the tares put in. In the beginning, only the word was sown. Nothing else. But here the enemy came to sow tares. Okay? So the kingdom of heaven begins. So the kingdom of heaven is a space there for a period of the gospel age or the grace age. Beginning with the time when Jesus came to sow the gospel. And people began to come into the gospel and the church started. So now, when we look at this, that's the second parable. Now we look at the third parable, which is in verse 31. So now we see this third parable. The third parable is then beginning the third age now. The third church age. Here is the word of God It's like unto a mustard seed. It is a very small of the seeds. But when it's planted, it grows into a big tree. Now when it grows into a big tree, you have, you get all kinds of birds that come and lodge in the branches. Now, of course some denominations tell you that, well, you know, the sinners, the birds are the sinners that come to this church, come to the church of God. Let me tell you something. You're talking about a sower, talking about seed here, you understand? If you are a seed, if you are a guy sow wheat, what do you expect? You expect wheat in it. The bird has nothing to do with the sowing. The bird comes to lodge in the tree. The birds are the nuisance. You ever have, well, you know, some of us, you ever walk the streets in the, and you have a lot of these miners or crows, and they all come into the street. And then you walk under the trees and you get all that stuff on your head. So they are nuisance and they are burdened. So what we have is this mustard tree. It is smaller than all seed, but it grows thick, and for a time when it just started, it spread its branches throughout the known then world at that time, Asia Minor. The gospel went out. And by the time the third church said, can you know, you got all kinds of birds come to touch themselves on the tree. You have the buzzards, you have the eagles, the dirty eagles, and you have the miners, you have the crow. All birds of all kinds come and touch on the tree, and you get all kinds of, well, leaders, people who come themselves to be, well, you know what, and then preachers and all this. And that's why we have the birds from the Roman church, or birds from church in Constantinople, in Alexandria, they become a burden to the church because they come and punch there and try to establish something that's not part of the tree. You understand that? And then by the time that we go into the fourth parable in verse 33, we have the current church now. The woman that came up now began to take what God had given us. Three measures of meal. Now these 3 measures of meal, there are 3 meals. Actually when you use the word 3 measures of meal, meals are food. But in the sense the Bible uses, they're actually flour. They take these 3 measures and put into one. They weighed out 3 measures and then bake into a loaf. Now what we have is that we have only one gospel. You all remember we only have one gospel. Is that right? When you repent and be baptized in Jesus Christ and you are born again, what do you have? You are justified, you are sanctified, you are Holy Ghost baptized. The 3 measures of meals. Now, the Catholic Church came along with the leavening. You know what leavening is? Something that corrupts. So they came up with all their, catechism and all these other things. Well, we will do a little research on it later on, just precisely what they took away. Oh, pay penance, this indulgence stuff they come with. Substitute one of these meals for this and that, or a little on, they have a whole lot more. You know, I remember one time my father was making some bread, uchakui, you know. You know, if you don't want to be conscientious in what you are baking, if either you miss up the salt and you find that it has no taste when after it is done, alright, or you feel that, well, I think I need to add a little bit more leaven into it, oh, that bread is going to blow so big, and it's full of hot air inside. You know, it doesn't, or you put little leaven, it doesn't rise, you know what I mean? Too much, it's an overdone, an overkill. So what we have is that this woman had leaven, the leaven is 3 measures of meal, or the very gospel that we have. Substitute one thing after another. Do you understand? Okay, that is where the conscience came in. And of course we have in the fifth parable in verse 44. This is when the king of heaven is like unto a treasure hidden in the field, which when a man has found it, he hide it, and for joy thereof, go and sell all that he had and buy that field. And that's when Martin Luther, in search of the truth, in search for truth, he went to the Catholic Church and did all that he had, finance and all this. One day the Lord spoke to him, the just only by faith, and he found that treasure. And he gave up all that he had and bought what he had found. In the search out there in the field where he wanted to find what he could have for his life. That will build up his life, or something that will, make him sufficient for his life. Now, what is our sufficiency? God is our sufficiency. You understand? Alright? So in the sixth parable, verse 45, is when we have the pearl of great price, something. You know what a pearl is like? People look at a pure pearl and say, oh my, this is pure, this is very shining and it's so beautiful and so forth. Pearl of great price represents the sanctity. Alright? Something that is pure, that is sanctification. And here we have John Wesley King. Alright, now John Wesley was a merchant. Now, well, he's already a preacher. Alright, and you know what John Wesley did? He went to America and tried to convert the Red Indian. The Red Indian couldn't accept his gospel. He went back to England and he started crying. He said, oh, I went to America to try to convert the Indian. But who will convert me? You know, and later on when he began to search, he realized that sanctification was already required. And that's the reason why he bought that. And he began to preach about sanctification of life. Alright, there's the pearl of great price. And the seventh parable, of course, in verse 47 onwards. And the last day when God finally had to draw everybody in, draw his elect in by casting a net. And then, of course, the ministry of Abraham went out forth and began to preach the message. And yes, we have the foolish virgin and the wise virgin, and all people are drawn to the word of God. Alright, so now with that message we understand. There are all these terrible years. There's nothing that begins with the word then. Alright? Because this is just presenting the whole of the kingdom of heaven. But in chapter 25, now let's go back to chapter 25. Now that the parable begins with the word then, shall the kingdom of heaven be likened. So now we have a fixed focal point, and that is 1948. Now as I said, since Christ came, alright, and he died in 3080, or 3380, whichever calendar you want to use, don't argue the fact, oh no, no, it's 33 or it's 3030. Doesn't matter anything anyway, because calendar is just calendar, we know what happened anyway. Okay, so, now, from that time when we just talk about the signs, and the signs of his coming, the prophecy of his coming, there are always wars and rumors of wars and pestilences all these 2,000 years. Almost 2,000 years now, right? Huh? Every century, there's always war fought in this country, that country, right? There's earthquake, there were earthquakes, and there were diseases. We know that, don't we? Okay? So now, but as I said, where is the focal point? Now, if you might be that you live in a year, like 1,100, 80. Well, you hear all these rumors of wars and pestilences, for example, right? And then, you say, oh, Christ is coming. But you're not yet, because there's something missing. Israel was scattered all over the world, remember? According to the prophecy or the word that Jesus spoke out in Matthew 24, they will be scattered around, because when that abomination came to Jerusalem and desecrated the temple, Israel will disperse. But God promised that they will come back. Now, so in 19, he said, if you live in the year 1100, was Israel restored? The fig tree did not appear. Is that right? That is to say, verse 32 of Matthew 24 was not yet fulfilled. If you live in 1200, 1300, 1400, 1500, 1600, 1700, 1800, was it yet fulfilled? No. So if verse 32 did not yet take place, then you don't have a focal point. Are you following me so far? Okay, so now by 1948, Israel, well, the fig tree, the fig leaf, well, became, Israel became a nation. So now we have a focal point, because yeah, we had the First World War and the Second World War. You know that, don't you? Huh? And many of us missed the First World War. Missed the Second World War. How many of us were in the First World War? I think Sister Annie was in the First World War, weren't you? No. The Second World War, I beg your pardon. Second World War. Okay? The Second World War ended in 1943, wasn't it? 43? 45? 44, 45, somewhere along there, depends on Europe and Asia. So, if you were not born then, about by the time, of course, you don't know the war. Even if you're born by the end of the year, when the war finished, you don't even see the war. Okay? But that's what happened during that time. So after the war, Israel became a nation in 48. Now we have a point now. And this is Matthew 24 and verse 32. So after this, then the Bible uses the word then. And then we come to Matthew 25. Now, Christ says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. That's to say, the parable of the 10 virgins fits or is to be fulfilled only at this end time, after 1948, so to speak. Are you following? Not before 1948. Now there are people in this end time message who said that the Matthew 25, the parable of ten virgins, begins from the very beginning when Christ came on the first church or the third day, almost 2,000 years back. Now that is pure foolishness. Now I want to tell you this, brothers and sisters, either we learn or we don't learn. That's a fact. You think God put this, what is the purpose of God giving out this word here for? And that's why we see a lot of foolishness, not only out there in the church world. People send their young men and say, oh, I feel led of God to be a minister. Okay, I'll send you to the theological school. And what they come out with? What of God? You get exactly the same mold that the theological school have already made to create everyone that comes out the same. And in the end times, the message people, many of them, instead of recognizing the message and the hour, they say, oh yeah, we do. God sent a prophet, God sent a prophet, God sent a prophet. Well, God sent a prophet, and that's not the end of it. Is that right? Prophet was not the end of the church age. Prophet was not the end of all that God intended to do. But they were not here. Because they were deceived by the Spirit. Oh, you talk about Eve listening to the dove, to the serpent. Well, Eve is always listening to the serpent again and again down throughout the ages in this end time. And not only that, the foolishness of other people in this end time message, many are listening to the voice of the serpent. Is that right? Recognizing the day and its message. Oh, we recognize that. We should recognize the day we're living through. That God has sent a message. Well, and what else? Now we are how many years after the death of the prophet? Almost 40 years, is that? Nearly 40 years, 38 years now, after the death of the prophet. Right? Sure. You mean all this time, about the 40 years, almost 40 years now, what has God been doing? Nothing. Just some day go around, say what Brother Abraham said, say what Brother Abraham said, say exactly verbatim what Brother Abraham said. Is that all that is to us? God is the God of the living. God is not a God of who parrots and parrots and parrots and parrots. He has manna. He has food for his bride, for his people. And now we need to understand the Bible says, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit said. Not hear what Brother Branham said, not hear what this man said. Hear what the Spirit of God said. Someone forwarded to me an email of Mother Teresa, and I forwarded some of you to read it, I think. It's supposed to be a vision of Mother Teresa before she died, about the four horsemen. The more I read it, the more I want to laugh. I don't believe that was Mother Teresa's vision. If that was a vision, I believe somebody cooked it up to try to use Bible verses to try to say what is happening to the world. There's nothing. Let me tell you this. God feed his own people. The devil feed his own. Sure. You know why I was thinking about whether to go or not to go to the States was because I was worried here about you people, should I go and you people are callous and then you get into SAR and things like that. I said, God, what's
strong in my head.
You know what I mean? I mean, how's it going to go? You have to take care of yourself. You know, I mean, there are so many things that is keeping me. When I was thinking, all right, so I said, Lord, just put in hand, give me a few more days. I said, I'm going until Tuesday, then I'll see. Because, you know, we're living in a world today, which is very true. There are so many voices out there. Young people, that's why I'm concerned with a lot of young people. Many of young people take things very easily. I hope you know how serious the hour that we are living in. I can tell you one thing, this is a tremendous time. I want you to just meditate. Just meditate about the war. When you watch the CNN, the news, on the TV, I watch it every night. In fact, I watch it every so often. I just turn on to see what's going on now. And the soundscape and all these things going on. And I the more that I look at it, I realize we are at the end. There's no way that, especially, you know, and I told you this, and I believe that what the Lord put in my heart, just to see, just have a little penalty understanding of what the prophecy of this end time is like. And I couldn't see anything else beyond that this is the end of the narc. I told you to watch this here, and we see this thing happen. I didn't expect the star, of course. I expect a tremendous thing to happen, but here, came star. And what else is going to come our way? I don't know. But I believe the economy is going to fall. You don't need a top financial expert to tell you that. You see? And the world is going to head back to Europe. Now it's France. And America were good friends. Now, over this war, they were seem to be, we're not going to buy American goods. Americans say, we're not going to buy Brooklyn. Or whatever, you know, French produce. And then we're at war over these things. And they have cancer. Well, some companies that have some sort of cancer, the order from France, or France from America, so things like that. So we are at a time when the economy situation is bad. So this is what we are seeing now. So let us put up our socks. You know, as far as our Christian life is concerned, how we walk in the Lord in this time. Then I'll not be complacent about this now. Alright, so, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Oh. Now, reminder that this chapter, or this parable, is not about the rapture. Don't look at the last few verses and talk and think that it is not. It is the kingdom of heaven. The Bible still mentions clearly the kingdom of heaven. Is that right? That is to say, it's here. It is at the end time here. Is that right? Huh? It's in here. So the event that will take place right here, so it's not about the rapture, it's talking about the marriage. It's about the bridegroom, it's about the virgin, mainly about the virgins, in relationship to the bridegroom. Now I want you to look there, and they are looking for that marriage, that means they want to get into that marriage supper. So like unto 10 virgins which took their land and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now these 10 virgins, why did this 10 virgins, why did Christ use 10 virgins? Why not use 10 wheat? Huh? Why not then use 10 wheat? Like some said, the foolish virgins, they are saying that the foolish virgins, they are unbelievers. If they say they are unbelievers, then they must be tested. Right? So it will be like the same here, say, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, be like unto 5 wheat and 5 tares. Everybody will understand what is wheat and what is tares, wouldn't it? So it is not. So who are the virgins? Why use the word virgins? All the time the church I started off, beginning of wheat. But somewhere along the second parable, when man sleeps, so you have the enemy came, and then we have wheat, we have tares, and we have, they begin to sow tares, right? So all along the church ages, all the way down, the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth. All of this here, we always have wheat, and tares that grow together. Is that right? Jesus said, remember the servant said, shall we not pull out the wheat? And the husband said, if you pull out the tares, shall we not pull out the wheat? Shall we not pull out the tares? And the husband's man said, if you pull out the tares at this time, at this in the spring house, you might accidentally pull out the wheat. Because the tares and the wheat, when they sprout, they look almost the same. Huh? So the husband said, leave it alone until the harvest time. When is the harvest? The harvest must be at the end of the age. Right? Yes or no? So the harvest must be somewhere at the end. So all the time we have weak tares. So there's no disease. Never at any time of this church age. Or you get good gene. But when suddenly now in the first parable, Jesus talked about the soul went for the soul sow seed. When he sow seed, of course, he said some people on the good way, some on the wayside, and some on thorny bushes and so forth, right? So those that receive and those that grow up, bear fruits, those are good wheat. And so those are the beginning of the church. Another one. So if the church begins then, we have to look at the first church. When it first started, before tares came in, we would have a sample, we would have something to look at that we can compare with in this present day. Because when we look at the church world today, how are you going to tell the reality from those figures? When the real thing from those that are sick. Is that right?